this morning, if you would, and open them to the book of Colossians chapter 3. And we're just going to look at one verse this morning. I'm going to continue this series of sermons from the book of Colossians, although I'm going to jump ahead about 16 verses. But I want to just say a word about, again, what we are doing here as a church body. So Brother Kevin Martin has come to be with us today about a year ago. In fact, it's been right at a year ago in July of 2020, right in the middle of COVID and everything. Our church selected 10 members from our body to form a search committee and begin the search for our new worship pastor, because Brother Rod had gotten married, horror of horrors, and moved off, Jenny became our interim worship pastor, and with the praise band has led us before the throne of grace now for the last year. But our committee has been searching for a full-time worship pastor. And so they interviewed a number of people. They received some resumes and other things. And they are coming today as a united front. In fact, all 10 members aren't going to be here today, but if they were, we're going to get the ones who are here up a little bit later. They're going to stand up here. But they are all together, or they are all in one accord, if you will, that as they have searched for the Lord's will for our church, they have found the Lord's will in Brother Kevin Martin as our worship pastor. I want to tell you that after they give that presentation, and it's really just going to be a few words, I guess, then you are going to be asked as a member of the body to affirm God's will, or to help us to determine God's will. And basically, we're going to do this with a ballot, with a vote. Okay, and so you're either going to vote yes or no, and it has some things. Either yes, I believe that this is the Lord's will for our church, or no, I don't believe the Lord's will. We believe that the Lord speaks to all of us, and this is the way we conduct ourselves as a church. But I want you to understand something. We are not asking for personal preference or your will or anything else. What we're asking, or what we're trying to determine together, is the Lord's will for the church. He's the head of the body. We are a body of Christ, and He is the head. And what we have to have above everything else, is the will of the Father, is the will of the Lord. So you're not going to be asked to give a personal opinion. You're going to be asked to help say what we believe together the Lord's will for the church is. And I also want you to know based upon a positive vote, that is, if we vote together to call him as our worship pastor, he will be employed by the church, or this is a salaried position. He'll be paid by the church. But we are not, as a church, employing, or we're not getting an employee. Okay, corporations have employees. A church is a body. We don't have employees. The pastor is not an employee. The student pastor is not an employee. The worship pastor is not an employee. We don't have employees. We have pastors. We have ministers. In fact, I want to show you how the Bible puts this. It's in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, He Himself, and He Himself there is the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus owns the church. It's His body. Okay? He Himself, the Lord Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. In other words, the Lord Jesus says, I'm going to have different positions in my church, different positions of leadership, different positions of activity. So I am going to give my body, I'm going to give my church pastors and teachers and evangelists and those type of things. And here's the reason why, verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's faithfulness. Okay, now that is a statement of who and what we are as a church. We are growing together in the Lord Jesus Christ to that point until we reach the fullness of Christ. You know, I've been saying, I'm going to say it again this morning. What does it mean to be a child of God, a Christian? Christ in you, you in Christ. And that is a dynamic living thing. And what happens is we grow in the Lord and we grow together. When the Lord saves us and puts us in the body as a purpose and plan for us together, individually, but together. And we are growing in that. And so what the Lord does is He gives different individuals, different talents and gifts and talents and gifts in the body so that they might help lead us together to grow to the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're doing today. We're not going to be employing or hiring an employee. We're going to be affirming the will of the Lord and calling a pastor to help lead us into the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And in this particular case, his title will be worship pastor. And so he will be leading us before the throne of grace Sunday by Sunday, and then there's a number of different things. One of the things that you're going to find out about Kevin is that he is very artistically gifted and talented when it comes to drama, and he's been a part of a big major drama production called The Promise down in Glen Rose, Texas. And so one of the things that really got his attention about our church was our passion play. And so that's something that that he personally is very excited about, as I am as well, for a number of different reasons. And so that's something that is probably going to grow and reach new heights under his leadership here. And so there's a number of different things. I wish that I had time to talk to you about all the things, or maybe we offered a couple of opportunities this week for us to come and just to hear from him and to get to know him. I'm going to have to ask you, if you weren't able to be here yesterday in our open house or any of those things, then I'm just going to have to ask you to take my word for it. And you've already heard from his heart in music. What I want to talk to you about now, and just for the next few moments, I want to talk to you about the vital nature of music in our worship, because he is going to be a worship pastor, and music is obviously a big, big honking deal in our worship. Does that communicate, big honking deal? Heard some of you giggle. I didn't mean it to be funny, but but yeah, so it's a big deal. And we see this actually in the Scripture. And that's what I want you to see today. I want you to understand, when we close the book up this morning, I want us to be at that place where we kind of understand maybe the vital nature of music, but also why we do what we do or how we do it, okay? In the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul, and it lays out for the church, he lays out for the body a vital or essential theology or doctrine. It begins with Christology, or the person and work of Christ. It continues on with what I would call humanology, or the person and work of us as individuals. And you put those two things together, our Christology. If you mess up or you don't get Christ right, everything else is going to be messed up. Everything else is going to be out of whack. You've got to get that right first. And then you have to understand who you are. And then you see how those two things come together. And it comes together with this great mystery, Christ in you, you in Christ. This is what it means to be a child of God. Christ in me, me in Christ. I'd like to just remind you of that over and over again. In fact, if you would just say that with me, I'd appreciate it. Christ in me, me in Christ. Ready? Christ in me, me in Christ. What does it mean to be a child of God? Christ in me, me in Christ. And so what Paul does is he lays this out for us, and Colossians is divided into four chapters. And the first two chapters deal with this theological necessity or this theological understanding. And then what he does in the last two chapters is he takes that doctrine or that theology and he applies it personally to our lives. Okay? And what I was planning on doing this morning was starting with that first verse in chapter 3. But because of what we're doing today, I'm going to skip down to verse 16, and I think it'll be clear here in just a second. So in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul writes, "Let the word of Christ," the word here being the word logos, the Greek word logos, or the message of the Messiah is the way some translations put it. "Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, with singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, with gratitude in your hearts to God. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word." So he says, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Now that word of Christ, again, is the logos, and it might mean a lot of different things here, but certainly it's the Lord Jesus himself. What did we say just a moment ago it means to be a child of God? Christ in me, me in Christ, right? The word of Christ, the logos, is the Lord Jesus himself. Until the Lord Jesus dwells within you, you are not a believer. You're not on your way to heaven. You're not a Christian. You're not whatever. What it means to be a Christian is to have Christ Jesus live within you. So Paul here, in taking the or applying the doctrine of Christ and humanity, in putting those together, he says, so let the word of Christ, Christ Jesus himself, dwell within you. And he says, richly. And that word just means completely or abundantly or in a way that comes flowing out. And so as you live or walk or move or whatever, you just can't help it because Christ lives within you and he dwells within you richly. And that word dwell means continuously. So it's not just, you know, he just shows up every once in a while, but he's in there completely and continually and he just comes out. Okay, so Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell within you richly. And what is this going to look like? So he says, what this is going to look like is teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom. And so now he's talking about the church or how we relate to one another. Okay, so your salvation or Christ within you is a very individual thing. But you are not saved and just say, okay, sent off and go, okay, well, hope it works out for you, figure it out yourself. No, he puts us together in a body and he gives us responsibility for each other, accountability for each other. We call it the church and we do a lot of different things as a church. Okay, but we basically relate together as a family. You've heard me say this many times. We are the family of faith. We are the body of Christ. We're not a building. We're not just a name on a billboard or something. We are family. We are people joined together. And so Paul says, as you let the word of Christ dwell within you richly, that is, it is so obvious, it just comes flowing out of your life, you're going to relate to other believers, one another, and you're going to teach and admonish one another, and there's going to be some things that you're going to be built up, and there's going to be some things that you're going to build others up. And so we're teaching and admonishing one another. And I don't have time to go into those two words. There's an awful lot there we could say, and we'll save that for some other time. But how is that teaching and admonishing going to take place? Well, he says, do this with singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. With singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Isn't that interesting? So he says, you let the word of Christ dwell within you richly. And then how you relate together as God's people is going to be vital, teaching and admonishing one another. So you're going to be built up together. How? Singing. With singing. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, what I want to do just for the next couple of minutes, I want to give you three realities or three truths, or there's three things that I want you to get, or that I want us to get before we leave this place, based upon this passage of Scripture about our singing or about music. I've entitled this sermon, Sing the Wondrous Love of Jesus, because that just communicated to me. But what I want you to hear is the vital nature. What I want you to understand is the vital nature of music in who and what we are individually as believers and as a church. Okay? Sing to the Lord. Three things I want you to see. First of all, I want you to see the necessity. The necessity of singing. So he says, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Not just humming, not just thinking. Singing, and singing is an activity of the voice. And if you've been given a voice, and you have vocal cords, and you have breath in your lungs, then you can sing. Now, again, this word singing modifies the teaching and admonishing. That is, singing is how we do this. And I just, to me, that's just fascinating. So we're going to be teaching and admonishing one another how? Singing. Now, just let that soak in for just a minute. And I'm not even positive how all this takes place, but I want you to notice that he is speaking to the entire body here. He's not just talking to the musicians. He's not just talking to those who have a really nice voice. It's you all are going to do this, he says. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Everybody, the entire church is caught up in this. In fact, you know, I did a little bit of biblical research, and you might be interested to know how many times, I was interested, so I'm going to tell you, how many times the word sing, which comes out as a command or an admonition, is found in the Bible. Do you know that the word confess is used 21 times in the Bible. Confess the Lord Jesus Christ, for example, 21 times. The word repent, or you shall all likewise perish, 38 times. The word pray, 117 times. The Lord says pray, pray, pray. Teach, 118 times. Sing, 145 times. In fact, more than any of the others, and is teaching and praying and repenting and those things, are those important? Yes, vitally. But more than that, he says sing over and over again. The command, the admonition, the call is sing, 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 sing to the Lord. In fact, when we get to heaven, we're still going to be singing. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, it says they, and the picture is of the crowd around the throne. All of God's people, all through the ages, are going to gather around the throne of God. And in verse 9, it says, they sang a new song, and they sang, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power and praise. In fact, man, when we were singing this morning, man, I just caught a vision. I saw the glimpse of heaven as we were singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Man, I just saw the throne of God and all God's people around the throne of God singing praise and glory to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lamb who is slain and is worthy. Beloved, we're practicing for heaven as we sing. And so the command from Scripture is sing, sing, sing. Now some of us are going to say, well, Brother Greg, I can't sing. Right? I can't carry a tune in a bucket. And I don't pay attention to who is or isn't singing. When I sing, I'm in our worship, I honestly am focusing on the Lord. But I know that some of us don't sing. I know that. I know that some of us say, well, I can't sing, or I don't sing, or whatever it is. And, you know, honestly, let's be honest for a second. You can sing, but it's motivation, isn't it? Right? I mean, just think about this. If we did a little game show today, okay? Sing for a million. All right? I got $1 million right here. All you got to do is come up here and sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. How many in here would say, nah, I can't sing? Huh? I guarantee you, for $1 million, there's not a person in here that wouldn't be able to get up here and sing, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know." Well, if $1 million would motivate you to sing, "Jesus Loves Me," then what about the King who died and gave his life for you and gave you eternal life? Is that not motivation? Can I not sing to the Lord when he tells me, singing with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, right? That's all I'm saying. It's all about motivation, right? What I want you to see here is the necessity of singing. That's the command, all right? First thing, sing to the Lord. Second one is this, the diversity of music. So he says singing with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, I want you to notice the differences there. And let me just point those out to you. So first of all, he says psalms, and the Greek word here is psalmois. And this word refers to a song that is sung to a psaltery. I can't pronounce it, but it's a stringed instrument. It's a psaltery. Is that a stringed instrument? Right? Okay. So a psalm is basically a song that was composed to be sung to a stringed instrument. That's the basic definition of a psalm. Now, the Bible, interestingly enough, contains over 150 psalms. Have you ever noticed that? In fact, if you go to right to the middle of your Bible, there's an entire book, 66 books in the Bible, the biggest book in all the Bible, 150 chapters, psalms. Isn't that interesting? What we have there is the hymn book of the Hebrew people. Now, there's actually more songs there's more psalms in the Bible than just the psalms, right? So that's why I say there's more than 150 psalms. But basically, what psalms are, or what psalms do, is they are singing God's word. When we sing a psalm, we're basically taking God's word and we're singing it back to him, right? So my favorite one, personally, is what's called the New 23rd. "Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need. He lets me rest in meadows green and leads me beside the quiet." Okay, that's the 23rd Psalm. I love it. And I sing it to the Lord quite often just as part of my devotional worship to him. So he says singing psalms. And then he says hymns. Hymns. Now, hymns, and the Greek word here is hymnois. We basically have just transliterated that word for hymns. A hymn is a song that was composed for worship teaching, worship/teaching, okay? And if you'll notice, and we have a hymnal, it's called the Baptist Hymnal, and it's filled with hymns. Hymns were originally written to teach biblical truth. And this was especially critical in pre-literate times. And so people would come and they would sing their faith. And so most of the great hymns, they teach biblical doctrine or biblical truth. And basically they are songs sung about God. So for example, my favorite hymn would be, "I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory. I gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me." And so notice what's happening in that hymn is we're singing about God and the things that he's done, about Jesus who came and died. And so what a hymn does, basically, this isn't true of every hymn, but most are songs that teach about the things of God, the work and the ways of God. Okay, so he says singing psalms, hymns, and then he says spiritual songs. Now these spiritual songs, again, the Greek word literally there is ode to the Spirit or ode of the Spirit. And so what this basically means is that the Spirit of God moving within an individual just causes the song to well up in your heart and worship to God. This is This is praise choruses. A lot of the contemporary Christian music today are spiritual songs. And many of these, I would say most of them, maybe not all, but many of them are songs to God. So where a hymn is a song about God, a spiritual song is a song to God, just of worship to God. Let me give you an example. We worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. We worship you, O Prince of Peace. This is what I want to do. I give you praise. So notice the direction is going this way. This is a spiritual psalm. So the apostle says singing with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, I want to emphasize this because the Lord does it here. And one of the big discussions in our church over the years and in our search committee was over worship style. And when we talk about worship style, we're talking about what kind of songs are we going to sing. Are we going to sing hymns? Are we going to sing psalms? Are we going to sing spiritual songs, contemporary music, those type of things? What is going to be our worship style? And what we have settled on as a church is something that we call blended. Now, what is blended? And, you know, Kevin mentioned the other day, I think when we were talking to the deacons, that blended has as many definitions as people do. And somebody told me one time that if you have blended music, it means you sing all different kinds. And so nobody's really happy because nobody's getting, you know, the kind, you know, that they want. So, but what I mean by blended is we take psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and we put them together. And some days we may sing all three different kinds, sometimes just one, sometimes another. But generally, if you looked at the worship of our church, you know, overall, then we are singing all different types of songs. Now, why do we do that? Because God said to it, right? I mean, I've had people tell me, well, Brother Greg, I'm not going to come anymore because you sing songs that I don't like. So y'all are just singing hymns. And there are some people out there, they don't like hymns, so they don't want to sing any hymns. There are other people, all they want to sing is hymns. All I want to hear is hymns, right? Why in the world would we sing blended? Why would we put all psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? Because God said do it. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, right? We're just trying to be faithful to the Word of God because evidently God likes all kinds of music and ultimately our worship ought to be about Him. So if I come in and say, I'm not coming because I don't like that style of music, then basically I'm saying, make the worship about me, not about Him. And as soon as we've made it about us, we have faith. We're not a church anymore. Because this is all about the worship of Him. And so what we do is we blend all of these different styles of music. Beloved, we're not going to stop singing hymns. We're not going to stop singing psalms. We're not going to stop singing spiritual psalms. Why? Because God tells us to do it. That's what the verse says. Singing psalms, hymns, spiritual psalms. That's the diversity. All right, I know y'all are probably going to run me out of here when I'm done with this, but let me give you the last one. Since I've gone this far, I'm just going to keep on going. I want you to see, lastly, the beauty of worship. Okay, the beauty of worship. So he says, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual psalms, but he doesn't stop there. He says, with gratitude in your hearts to God. With gratitude in your hearts to God. So it's one thing to sing a song, but our worship is ultimately an expression of our heart, right? With gratitude in your hearts towards God. I want you to see the direction toward God. So our music has got to be a heart expression of a church individually, or us as individuals and us as a corporate body, a heart expression towards God. which means something very, very significant, and that is our worship music is designed for an audience of one. You know, something that that Kevin has said, I've heard him say a couple of different times, this is not a stage. Where I'm standing is not a stage, because on a stage, you have a stage for performance, right? And the tendency may be to say, well, we got this guy up here, and he sings really nice, so we want to hear him perform, right? Because I want to be blessed, and I really love good singing and everything. So bless me, you know, perform for me. That's not the way worship works. Right? In fact, if we could just maybe rethink this entire building, this entire room is a stage. And God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, I mean, God Himself is the audience. And we are performing for Him. We are singing to Him. We are giving Him our lives. We are laying our lives out for Him with gratitudes in your heart, with gratitude in your heart to God. If we make it anything else, we're saying it's all about me. And when it becomes all about me and not all about Him, we have perverted worship, and God Himself is dishonored and He's not happy with it. And that's why, as a church, we want to make sure we have a platform up here because, as Kevin said, a platform is for influencers. Is that right? So a stage is for performers. A platform is for influencers. And what we're trying to do is influence us all in our exaltation, in our worship, in our glory, in our singing, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, because in this way we are teaching and admonishing one another. Because the message or the word of Christ dwells richly among you. So when our singing is directed towards God, as it should be, there is beauty. Do you know the Bible says that the Lord inhabits the praises of His people, and in His presence there is power and there is beauty. There is just something amazing when and amazing is not really the word that I would use to describe it. I don't know. I the word escapes me now. There's just something incredible when God's people together, and I heard it this morning, lifting up the name of the Lord in worship and praise, and the Spirit of God so filling the place and so powerful and so moving, and like I said, I can't even describe it. That's what I mean by the beauty of worship. This is possible as we sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in our hearts towards God. Let me just wrap this up by backing up to that first part. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I want to ask the question, are you a singing Christian? I mean, are you a singing Christian? Is there a song in your heart to the Lord? If not, I want you to back up because you see, it starts right there. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell within you. You know, if the word of Christ, if the Lord does not dwell within me, I've got nothing to sing. I'll be honest, nothing. But when the word of Christ, when the Lord Himself lives within me, how can I help but sing His praise? Not just because I'm commanded, but because something's happening within me. And for whatever reason, God loves music. He shows us that in His Word. He is blessed by our singing. He is in the midst of our singing. In fact, you know, I'll say it again. I just want you to think about it, that in heaven, what we're doing here, the singing is the only thing that we do on earth that we're going to do there. There's not going to be any preaching in heaven. Unfortunately for me, I'm going to be out of a job. There's not going to be any teaching in heaven. There's not going to be any praying in heaven. But there's going to be singing. And what's happening is we are preparing ourselves for that heavenly day. We're making ourselves ready for heaven. And I'm just wondering, are you ready? Does the word of Christ dwell richly in you? Are you a singing Christian? Father, in the name of Jesus today, as we just let your word speak. And God, my prayer is that the things that I've said just might be out of the way, and you, Lord, just might speak very clearly to us today. Because we want to be the body. We want to be the church. But we want to be individuals that glorify your name, that in whom you dwell richly. So that's my prayer today, Lord. I would pray that the word of Christ would dwell richly in each one. And if not, then right now, as we just understand who Jesus is and who we are and what Jesus did, that each one of us, that there's not a person in here that might not come to that place, that saving faith in Jesus, life-changing faith, so that we might be a complete church in worship. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.